Hey, I'm going to introduce myself. I'm Dave Long. It's good to. It seems like it's been forever. It does seem like it's been forever. And I can tell you, I've missed being in church. Praise God this morning for the opportunity to be back. You know, as I was trying to figure out, you know, as the Lord's dealing with me this week about what to preach on, I thought, he come across this one subject, and I preached about this for different times. The Lord said, he said, you do it again. So we're going to talk this morning, and I'm going to be over to Isaiah, the 5th chapter, the 13th and the 14th verse, if you would, when you get there. Let's please stand in honor of God's word. And by the way, thank you, Jamie, for the last 2 weeks, and I know people just really enjoyed it. Praise God for that. Thank the Lord for you. Thank the Lord for everybody in this church. I really have felt your prayers down the last couple of weeks. Isaiah 5, 13 and 14, when you get there, please stand, and let's read God's word together. Therefore, my people are going into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell has enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory, and their multitude, and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. I'm going to read one more, not to say that I lied to you. Sorry about that. And the mean men shall be brought down, and the mighty men shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I want to come with thanksgiving in my heart this morning. Lord, I want to thank you for the opportunity that I have to be here. I want to thank you for your mercy and your grace. I ask you, Father, to be with each and every heart here, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, as you would open our minds and our hearts and our knowledge, Lord, open it up to us this morning, Lord. And, Father, we will give you the praise for that. Lord, we ask you to go with each and every individual, Lord, that have lost ones in their family, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that they would come to the knowledge that they need Jesus as their Savior. And we ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, Drift Run Church. Good morning to you. The amazing thing about this scripture, as I got to looking, as God dealt with me, is here, is this. God is telling us that hell is getting bigger. Do you get that here? He's telling us that hell is getting bigger. Now, just think about that for just a moment. Think about that. Ponder on it. God is telling us through the prophet Isaiah, he's telling us that hell is getting bigger all the time. It just didn't get bigger and stop. It's getting bigger all the time. This is not to make light of this place, because hell is a horrible place to anybody that ends up there or anybody that's there now. But they've got a very good building project going on down there. Absolutely. And it's consistently adding on. Now, mind you, this was not in God's plan to begin with. Hell was not in God's plan to begin with, not whatsoever. Make no mistake about it, though. I want you to understand this. God created hell. You know that, don't you? God created it. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We know that. God created the heavens and earth. There's no mention of hell here. Not whatsoever. So hell wasn't created at this time. Because God doesn't create anything without a purpose. He created hell before a purpose. There is no need for hell in the beginning. There was no need whatsoever. There was no sin. When God created everything, what did it say? Everything was perfect when God created everything. Absolutely. So when was hell created? When was it created? The Bible doesn't give us an exact time when hell was created. But I can tell you, I can assure you of this. The Bible's very clear. It says in Matthew 25 and 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepared for who? It was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was initially made for Lucifer and the fallen angels. That's who it was made for. I believe God created hell immediately after they fell. I believe he created them right then. And God created hell before the creation of Adam. You know that, don't you? He created hell before the creation of Adam. So it happened sometime in between that point in time. That's all I know. Sin did not begin here on earth. You know that, don't you? Sin began in heaven whenever Lucifer rebelled. That's when sin began. And he said, sin didn't begin in the Garden of Eden. Yes, it happened there, that it fell upon man there, but it didn't begin there. And when sin entered into the humans, when Lucifer, when Satan, whenever the devil, whatever you want to call him, beguiled Eve, that's when it started. Romans 5:12 says this, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world at that point, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I've been blessed, Greg, and I'll tell everybody else, that I have been blessed down through my life to attend churches that believed in a literal hell. Preachers used to preach that. I heard it a lot. I believe in a literal devil. Absolutely. They preached it. They taught it. They preached and taught of the fiery torment that was to come. I've heard it all the way down to the end, where people wept and people wailed that had to go to that place. I've never been in a church. I've never heard a preacher preach otherwise. That's me. Maybe you have. I have never heard that. A place where Jesus said it would be better. Now get this. For an individual to cut off a limb or pluck an eye out than to go to that place. That's what he said. That's what Jesus said. It would be better for you to cut your arm off or put your eyes out than to go to hell fully with all that stuff with you. That's what Jesus said. I want to put that into a little bit of perspective for you. Don't you believe that men want to live? Men and women want to live. We have a desire in our heart. God put that in there for that we want to live. We want to live down here on this earth. Have you ever heard of the name of Aaron Ralston? Have you ever heard that name before? Have you ever heard of a book called Between a Rock and a Hard Place? Or how about a movie that was called 127 Hours? Has anybody ever heard of that before? Well, I encourage you, but whenever you do it, you better be prepared, because it's pretty horrible. Mr. Ralston was a mechanical engineer, and he was also a rock climber. He liked to scale down caves and do all this kind of stuff. But the thing about him is, he always wanted to go solo. He didn't want to take anybody else with him. He wanted to go by himself. And sometimes he would never tell anybody when he was going. On April 25th, 2003, he descended down. He went to a canyon called Canyonland National Park in Utah. And as he descended down it, he got 100 foot from the bottom, and he stepped on a boulder, about an 800-pound boulder, and the boulder slipped and caught his hand. And he was stuck there. He didn't take a cell phone because he knew there wouldn't be no signal. So he was stuck there. For 5 days, he was stuck there. And finally, he decided that the only way that he could get out was to cut his own arm off. So he had in his backpack, he had a little 2-inch knife that he had bought at Walmart that was so dull, he said when he first started, it wouldn't even cut the hair on his arm. He had to actually just take and tear the flesh off to where he got to the bone. And when he got to the bone, he said, and cracked it. Finished cutting it off because the man wanted to live. He cut his hand off. He cut his own arm off. Walked. Finished scaling down the mountain. Finished scaling down a canyon. Then walked 5 miles until he found somebody. Because he wanted to live. Now I want you to listen to that. And you're probably thinking, man, that's horrible. The man wanted to live. Jesus said it would be better if you would do something like that than to go to hell with all your arms and all your limbs. That's how bad hell is. Just think about that for a minute. Just think, that's how awful of a place hell is. And the reason some want to change the Bible, and the reason some want to gloss over what hell, and they want to say Lucifer or the devil is something that really makes what sin is. It's not. It's real. It's literal. But it hasn't changed. Therefore, hell has enlarged herself, opened her mouth without measure. My question this morning is, if hell, if this place is as awful as the Bible says it is, which I believe it is, it's not because they haven't been preached to or taught about. There have been plenty of times out there where people have heard about the preaching about hell. And if it's the place where both men and women don't have to go, because Jesus did make a way. He did make a way. Then why is hell getting larger? Why? Let me give you a few thoughts. Let me give you a few thoughts about why I think hell is getting larger. And I want you to just bear with me a little bit. Hell is enlarging because of foolish parenting. I'm just going to be blunt with you this morning. Withhold not correction from your child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. And when you read that, I'm not talking about beating someone to death. That's not what this scripture means. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Foolish parenting is when parents base correction on feelings and on emotions instead of what the Word of God says that they should do. With that kind of parenting, kids grow up, and this is what kids grow up not respecting their parents. They grow up not respecting authority. They grow up not respecting anything to do with authority whatsoever. And when kids grow up like that, it's hard to preach the gospel to kids like that. Because who is the ultimate authority figure? It's God. And if they grow up not respecting authority, it's hard to preach and to teach and to let them know that they need to succumb to Jesus and what He meant for them and to succumb to God, and they do not want to do it. And when kids grow up like that, it's hard to reach them. Because one day God will deal with their heart. My Bible tells me that He deals with everyone's heart at least once. And He will deal with them one day through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And whenever He deals with them, they'll reason with them themselves. Well, Mom and Dad never. Mom and Dad threatened me, but they never, ever really went through with whenever they threatened me. They counted the 10 once in a while. Or threatened me, then they never followed up. Whenever you're raised like that, it's hard to get through to kids like that. Because they do not respect, because they just think that there's not going to be no punishment for what I'm doing. So then God is just like their parents in their eyes. Just idle threats. Whenever you read in the Bible that hell has enlarged itself, and if you do not get yourself right, that you could end up in that place, it's just idle threats to a lot of people out there. And we have a lot of folks today that don't respect authority. They don't respect their moms and dads. They don't respect their grandparents. They don't have respect for others. They don't have respect for the government. They don't have respect for the police. They don't have no respect. And when you don't have respect, you cannot hardly deal with them when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's leading them to not respecting the things of God. Yes, I feel hell is enlarging itself because of a lot of foolish parenting that's going on. Absolutely. Recently, Greg did a study, and you guys, most of you here on it, was over in 1 Samuel, or it was over in the book of Samuel. And one of the figures that he talked about was Eli. And this is what it said, who got in trouble with the Lord because he would not restrain his sons. 1 Samuel 3:13, we've read about it here a while back. For I have told him and that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth because his sons made themselves vow. And he restrained them not. His whole family. For God takes parenting seriously. I run across this little poem that I want to read to you. Junior kicked the meter man. Junior bit the cook. Junior is antisocial according to the book. Junior smashed the clock and lamp, and Junior hacked the tree. Destructive trends are in chapter 2 and 3. Junior threw his milk at Mom. Junior screamed for more. Notes on self-assertiveness are found in chapter 4. Junior threw his shoes and socks right out in the rain. The book said this is normal, just disregard the stains. Junior got in Grandpa's room, destroyed the fishing line. That's just to get attention, according to page 89. But Grandpa grabbed a belt and jerked little Junior across his knee because Grandpa hasn't read a book since 1953. Listen, hell is enlarging itself. Absolutely, because of the foolish parenting, because the kids are being raised with no respect for authority and no fear of judgment from authority. Number two, hell is enlarging because of what Psalms 9:17 says. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. All nations that forget God are going to hell because the people of that nation forget about God and do not fear God. You had mentioned that earlier in your lesson here today. Abram told the king about Sarah. Remember this? He said Sarah was his sister. Remember when he did that? You know why he did that? And Abraham said, because I thought surely that the fear of God is not in this place. They will slay me for my wife's sake. He thought that the fear of God, listen to me, there is no worse place to live, and I'm going to be blunt with you, than in a community, than in a city, than in a county, than in a nation that does not fear God. There's no worse place to live. And can I be blunt with you again this morning? We are getting there. We're getting there. Because you don't know what the leaders of those nations are going, what those leaders are going to do, what they might do to the places you're at. Because if you do not know at this very moment that we're living in a nation that has forgotten God, you have been asleep. When you have to have three bathroom choices. Oh, I'm going to meddle a little bit. When you've got to have three bathroom choices. If you're confused, read 1 Samuel 25. If you're confused about what bathroom you should use. I'll just leave it there. When killing babies in the womb is considered a choice. And did you know that abortion is the greatest form of racism there is in this nation? Did you know that? You say, oh, how's that? A study done by a group called Protecting Black Lives said that about minority abortions. 79% of Planned Parenthood's surgical abortion facilities are within walking distance of minority communities. Yeah, this upsets me. This upsets me. In one state alone, 79% of all abortions that are done are on black women. One state alone. Let that sink in for a little bit. 19 million African-American babies have been aborted since Roe versus Wade came into effect. 19 million. And that isn't even good numbers, because some of these states you're not allowed to give the true numbers. It's probably closer, they're saying it's probably closer to 30 million. Yes, hell is enlarging itself daily because the nations and others around the world have allowed their children to be sacrificed to Moloch. This nation has forgotten God, and a people that forgets God, no wonder hell is enlarging itself. The Bible also goes on to say, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Folks, hell is enlarging itself because this nation has forgotten God. Jesus said in Luke 17:26-30, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed, we have become that nation. What's he saying? What is that scripture right there saying? Those people were going about their everyday walk of life. He said they were marrying, they bought, they sold. They were just going about just minding their own business, so to say. Just making a living. But in the process, you know what they did? They ignored God. They ignored God. That's something that I can say has been going on in this nation for a while. Hell has enlarged itself because Christians and so-called Christians have failed Do you know that we've been given a commission that the angels don't even have? Do you know that? We have been given the Great Commission. It was not given to the angels. Remember the story of Cornelius over in Acts chapter 10? And he said, and in the ninth hour of the day, the angel of God coming to him and told him this, now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter, who lodges with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. And guess what? He shall tell thee of what thou oughtest do. Why didn't the angel do it? Did you ever think about that? Why didn't the angel do it? Because the angel's not commissioned to do it. We are commissioned to do it. That's your and my job to do that. To let people know that there is a hell. Let people know that Jesus Christ died for their sins. Because it's up to you and I. There's a lot of folks we know and we come in contact with each and every day that need to hear about Jesus. Mark 16, 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He was talking to his disciples, but guess who that was passed down to? That's you and me. That's the commission that you and me have. But it's got to be the right gospel. It can't just be any old thing out here in left field. It's got to be the right gospel. The gospel is about Christ dying for our sins, being buried, and rising the third day. That's the gospel. And he's now sitting on the right hand of the Father doing what? Making intercession for me and you. Especially whenever me and you stumble and fall like we've been talking about. That is the power of God unto salvation. That's the gospel. That's the good news. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 says this. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye were saved. Now I want you guys to mark that in your Bibles and remember this, because I got some important points to make on this. Which also ye were saved, if you keep in memory that I preached unto you, unless ye believe in vain. For I delivered unto you the first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again in the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. What do you not see in there? I want you to think about that. What do you not see in there? Galatians 1:8, but through we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, then they that which ye have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Folks, if any church, if any denomination, if any preacher, any teacher adds anything else to the gospel message, it is plain, let him be accursed. But today we have all kind of false preaching. We have all kind of false teachings and false denominations and stuff. The devil and his unclean spirit are behind a lot of this. If they add anything to the gospel, you have to speak in tongues. That's false. That's not the gospel. If they add to the gospel that you have to be baptized, that's false. Let them be accursed. If they add to the gospel that you know what you're going to do, simply join the church, that is false. That's not the gospel. Confessing our sins to a man in a confessional booth, it's not what that's a false gospel. Now, preacher, that's very judgmental. You can say that. Preacher, that's pretty judgmental, do you, right? False gospels in churches is one reason hell is enlarging itself. That's exactly why. We need to know our Bibles. We need to be able to say to folks when something is wrong. Religion and denominations are sending a lot of folks to hell every day. Salvation is in a person. Salvation is in a person. It's not in a work. It's not in a church. It's not in a system. It's not in a denomination. It's not in the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's not salvation. It's a good thing to live by, but that's not salvation. That's not the gospel. It's not in a baptistry, and it's in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Let me tell you how dangerous false denominations can be. I know you probably have never heard of this guy, but this story just intrigued me so much. There's a guy by the name of George McCorkle. You probably don't know him, but he used to play in the Marshall Tucker Band. Maybe some of you know who the Marshall Tucker Band is. His wife had went to a dentist office one day, and lo and behold, that dentist that was there, he was a preacher. And he and one of the things, there were two dentists that worked in the office, and they both agreed that we would talk about the gospel all we want. So this woman come in there, and she was this George's wife. And she tells him who it is. Well, this other preacher, he said he kind of knew who he was. And he goes out there and he sees him out there. And he said, yeah, he sees him out there. So he goes out and hands him a track, about a gospel track. And starts talking to him a little bit. And this George, he starts talking to him and says, yeah, he said, yeah, I got a bunch of guitars. Why don't you come up to my house and we'll visit up there some of these days. So that preacher went up there and he prayed the whole way. I remember the story. He said, I prayed the whole way that, Lord, give me the opportunity to witness to this guy. So after they got talking about all their guitars and everything, he said, the Lord gave him the opportunity. He told him, he said, listen, he said, you need to be born again. You need to be saved. He said, if you die the way that you are now, this preacher was really blunt with you. He said, you're going to go to hell. He said, that guy looked at, he said, a guy just stood there and listened to him all that time. He said, it must have been going on for about a half hour. He said, when he was done, he said, that guy looked at him. He said, well, you know, there's only been one other person ever to tell me that, and that was Charlie Daniels. Charlie Daniels was saved, you know, and he would tell you, he said, there's been only one other person ever to tell me that. And that guy invited him to church. Well, a couple months later, he seen him at the post office, and he said, I'm a Christian. He said, I'm a Christian now. And the preacher, he said, oh, you are? He said, did you get born again? He said, no, I joined the church. He said, if I told you what church he did, what denomination he joined you, he said, well, you got to be born again to be saved. The preacher was blunt with him. He said, well, he said, they'll let me play my music there. And he asked him, what kind of music? He said, well, I can play Marshall Tucker music there. I can play gospel music. I can just play it all. He said, it wasn't even 3 months later that woman called and said he was in the hospital dying of bone cancer and wanted him to come down and see him. He said, when he got down there, he said he was so unresponsive. He said he couldn't even talk to him. But there was a book laying there on the side of the bed, said prayer. And he asked his wife, he said, who gave it? He said, Charlie Daniels gave it to him. And he said that he left the track and said, if he wakes up, he said, you make sure that you read this to him. It was the track on salvation. He said, as far as he knows, he never woke up. He never come back out of it. That's why I'm telling you folks, false denominations, false preaching, false stuff. Don't ever be bought into this thing where we're just all in this together, because we are not. The gospel needs to be preached. The gospel needs to be preached. The people have got to be born again, and that the Spirit of God will come into their lives and they'll know that they're saved. People, everybody thinks, you know what? There, too many churches are just soothing consciousness. Just soothing consciousness. That's all they're doing. They're saying, well, if you do this, you're fine. If you get baptized, you're going to be just fine. If you do this, you're going to be just fine. That's absolutely false. You have to be born again. Then the baptism comes into effect. They make people think it's okay. What? But what preacher and teacher and churches, you know, what they're literally doing, Nancy, is they're putting their foot on the back of these poor people and pushing them into hell. It's exactly what they're doing. I'm here to tell you this morning, yes, I know this is hard this morning, but I tell you, I've had 2 weeks to think about this stuff. It's essentially, people go to hell by the thousands because they go to these dead religious churches where there is no life in them. Hell has enlarged herself. I don't know about you, but that hurts me. It hurts me whenever I think about that. And the most amazing thing about the gospel is, it's so simple. The gospel is so simple. Do you remember the story of Nahum back over in 2 Kings? We all remember the story how he was a general over the Syrian army, and he got leprosy. Remember the little girl that was in there, the little maid that they had captured was in there, and she said, well, if you could just get over to the prophet, you know what? I think he could take care of that for you. So he gathers up everything and he goes over there, and of course he pulls out in front of where the old prophet's at. And the prophet sends out his assistant pastor. Sends him out and said, you go out there. He said, this is what he's told. You go dip in Jordan 7 times. And when you come up, you're going to be healed. Well, Naaman gets mad. He gets mad. He said, why didn't I just, I've got rivers over where I'm from. Why do I have to do this for? Because you got to do it the way God says you have to do it. Amen. You do it the way God said you had to do it. Leprosy is a picture of sin. You know that, don't you? It's a picture of how sin contaminates our lives. You can all have all the rewards. You can have all the praise. You can have all the accolades this world can give you. But if you're still ate up with sin, you're still lost and you're still going to that place that's called hell. The Bible tells me that the wages of sin is what? It is death. That's spiritual death. That's what they're talking about there. But there was a witness, and she said, but Naaman took her up on it. He went, he took all that stuff. You know what he was wanting, Greg? He's wanting Benny Hinn to come out. He wanted old Benny Hinn to come out and put his hands on him and say, you are healed. And he's wanting to say that you know what? He wanted to see smoke and he wanted to see laser shows and he wanted to see all this stuff. That's what Naaman wanted to see. But God told him, he said, this is what I want you to do. Just as simple. I'm here to tell you this morning, the gospel is simple. Believe that Jesus Christ died. That Jesus Christ died for your sins. That they put him in that tomb. And that he is alive today because he rose 3 days later. And he is sitting at the right hand of God. And he did for whosoever will. That's how simple it is. I'm telling you, that could change this nation. That could change the world if people, not only believing that, but acting upon that. It could change this nation. It could change it. I'm just here to tell you, I know. It changed me one day. It changed me one day. And I'm telling you, if it changed me, it can change any of you. To do, repent, put your faith in Christ, and he will deliver you from the lake of fire. One, just one hell won't enlarge. And just one hell will slow down enlarging. Listen, yes, that's what I'm saying. So Naaman, he starts to go away because he's mad. He starts to go away. He's upset because it just wasn't the way that he wanted it done. And do you realize that there are people out there today that if you told them to do something hard for salvation, they'd probably do it. We are telling them that a lot. We're telling them you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to be this way, you got to be that way. We're telling them all that stuff. But all that Jesus wants is to come with a contrite heart. Amen. And accept him into your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. How simple can that be? And yes, as they come and get a song this morning, Belinda, go ahead and come up this way, please, if you can. There's a couple of things. First off, I want to ask everybody in here, because this is important. Do you know Jesus Christ personally? I'm not talking about it. Do you know the God that I know? I'm talking about, do you know him personally? Because you can know him. Absolutely. You can know Jesus Christ just like you know Greg, just like you know me. You can know him that personally. Maybe you're sitting here and you're not sure. And you're thinking to yourself, what will people think if I come up there? Forget about what people are thinking. If somebody is sitting back there thinking, judging you for coming to this altar, shame on them, they need to be up here too. I've been going to church, maybe saying I've been going to church all my life. Let me tell you, who cares? Come to this altar. Come this over. You must be born again. It says in Joel 3:14, multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. I forget, I used to know these numbers. My mind is so, I get so confused on numbers anymore. But anyway, I think it's every 15 seconds somebody dies, or maybe every 3 seconds or something like that. There's somebody dies in this world. Somebody passes away. Is there any wonder hell is enlarging itself? Is there any wonder? You don't see in the Bible anywhere where it says heaven's enlarging itself, do you? But hell is. I'm telling you, be much in prayer for those in our families that are lost. Be much in prayer for their neighbors. Be much in prayer for all those around us we work with. All that they don't know the seriousness of what they are facing if they go out of this world without Jesus Christ. Let's get a song.